title here is, What is the Reason of Your Hope? In 1 Peter 3 and 15, this first scripture we're going to go to, it says, But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So the Lord says we should have an answer for it. Whatever man comes along and asks us, you know, why have you got hope? Where is your hope at? And some of the things I'm going to share tonight all come from the Bible, and it talks pretty much about what the Bible has to say. And I'm thankful the Lord inspired holy prophets of old as to what to write, and it's accurate and without error, and we can base our beliefs on it and not have to wonder if it's going to pan out, because it's always proved to be good and true over the years, saved souls. And just thank the Lord for his precious holy word he's given us. That you can all go to the Lord with me here tonight as we begin to ask the Lord to have his way. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for you. Lord, you are our hope, Lord. You came, Lord, when there was nothing we could do for ourselves, Lord, and you made a way, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for your love for us and the sacrifice you made on Calvary, Lord, and all through the years, Lord, as your ministry, God, you reached souls and reached and healed and set free and delivered, Lord. We just give you the praise and the thanks, God. And we just ask you to have your way here tonight, Lord. We give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. But sanctify the Lord in your heart. It means to set apart as holy, to make binding. And it says with meekness and fear. It's talking about reverence, realizing who it is we're talking about and what he's done for us. And if you've got the Lord in your heart, if he saved your soul, then you're a blessed person. And I don't know how people make it through this world, the shape it's in today, without God. You know, it's no wonder they got to turn to the things they do turn to, trying to find relief. But without Jesus, it'd be a miserable world to live in. And I'm just thankful that I found him at an early age and had him in my heart most of my life. And I don't want to ever stray away from him. I just realize how good he is to me. But hope usually is related to something in the future, but it can also be related to something in the present. It can give us that assurance in our heart that things are going to be all right, even things when things are going contrary the way we want them to, and we're going through trials and troubles, we can yet know that everything's going to work out with Jesus. When we give our heart and life to him and put our trust in him, he's going to work it all out. And where he takes us, sometimes it may seem like he's forgot us and he don't realize what we're going through, but he does. He knows where we're at, and he's got a reason for what we go through. And many times it makes us stronger when the tribulation trials come our way, and he just shows us how we can lean on him and he'll be there for us. In Psalms 105, verse 1, says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing praises unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. And some of the things mentioned in this chapter I'm going to cover, it just reminds us of what the Lord has done for different individuals we are have read about in the Bible. We can look at David, and I'm going to go to Psalms 22 and 4. And David went through quite a bit. He had a lot of people after him quite a while and threatened his life, and he never really retaliated towards Saul, you know, when he came after him, and I just think David was a good man because, you know, he didn't take advantage of the opportunities he had to get even with Saul when he came after him. But in Psalms 22 and 4 it says, "Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." So David, he knew he could put his trust in the Lord, even though it looked like things were going contrary to the way he wanted them to. Many times he didn't get all stressed out. I know he went to the Lord. And when these things come our way, it just drives us to our knees and draws us closer to the Lord. We go to him for strength and help. And he never is going to turn us away when we seek for him like that. And we need his help. He's not going to turn us away. But back there in Psalms 105, I'm going to go to Romans 4:18 first. I'm sorry. Getting mixed up here. It says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." And talking about Abraham, here it says in verse 20, "He staggered not at the promise of God, though through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." And Abraham, it looked like an impossible thing in his life. He didn't have children. He was wanting them, him and his Sarah. And anyway, God promised him that he would have children as the number of the sand of the sea and as the stars in the sky. And even though it looked impossible, according to the situation, the way things were going, yet the Lord worked it out, as we know. But he says, "Against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." And so, even though it looked like impossibility, God worked it out. There's nothing too hard for our God. And we can look at how he helped Joseph in Psalms 105 and verse 16. Says, "Moreover, he called for a famine and upon the land he broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time of his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. And the king sent and loosed him, even the rulers of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly, made them stronger than their enemies." So Joseph also went through some things, as we know, and looked like everything kept going the wrong way for him, but God turned it around and he had a purpose for it in the end, and he saved souls and helped his family because of what the position Joseph was put in. And God had a plan. It wasn't apparent until the last, but God worked it all out for their good. And we can look at Moses and Aaron in Psalms 105 and verse 26. It says, "And he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coast. And he spake, and the locusts came and the caterpillars and without number, and did eat up the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. So the Lord helped them. Once again, we can look at the situation they were in. It didn't look good, but they didn't lose their hope. They kept crying out to God, and God heard their cry, and he sent Moses and Aaron to deliver them, and he brought them out with a strong hand. And there's Ephesians 2 and 12, those that don't know Christ do not have hope. And as we're going to look at this scripture here, that at the time they were without hope, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now is Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Thank the Lord, you know, that he opened the way for us, and he went to that cross and shed his blood for us, and no one else could do it because his blood was the only blood without sin. But he was willing to do so for us. And it took a great love, but thank the Lord for what he has done for us. In Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Thank the Lord, he sent that comforter that got the name. What's the other name for the one that goes along beside? Well, that's not the word I'm looking for. But anyway, we know it's the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's the word I was looking for. I had part of it, and I couldn't spit it out. My mind just went south. It got locked up there. But anyway, thank the Lord. He goes with us. He's in us everywhere we go, and helps us, and if we'll listen to him and let him make the decisions for us, just like that one young guy at the detention center years ago. Pastor knows who I'm talking about. He said it's easy to be a Christian. You just got to let the Lord make your decisions for you. And when you learn to do that and listen to him, you know you'll be a lot better off. We'll make a lot less mistakes. The scriptures are a sure source of hope. In Romans 15 and 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And they are comforting. There's times when we are looking for answers and we can go and find what the promise is of God in that situation for our lives, and God gives us that hope, that comfort, and we know we can put our trust in him. He won't let us down. He's going to hold to his word, and he's always faithful to it. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." So through the grace he's given us, we live in the age of grace. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They lived under the law at that time, but thank the Lord, we don't have to do all the things they did in that day. It's a lot simpler and easier, but I mean, the Lord, he don't want us to take advantage of that grace, you know, take it for granted, but yet it's much easier than what they had to do in that day. But I thank the Lord that he is long-suffering and patient with us and loves us as he does. Even in our last hours of our life, in Proverbs 14:32, says, "The wicked is drawn away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." And I was coming to church the other day, coming down Blue Star there, and looked over the apartments where Sister Ellen used to live, and it just kind of let me realize, you know, just how short this life is. One moment, you know, I remember so many times pulling in there, picking her up, bringing her to church, and taking her home, and we all had a good time together, but didn't realize just how soon, you know, she would be going on to be with the Lord. And she was ready to go. She prayed to go, and I'm thank the Lord for letting her go on. She's better off where she's at, but we do miss her, but we'll be reunited with her one of these days. And it just lets you realize, you know, just how short life is. She had that looking forward to going to be with the Lord, and now she is with the Lord, and there's different ones along the way, and it'll be our turn for long. We'll be gone, and there'll be others looking to come with us if the Lord doesn't take us all, and real soon. And assurance of immortality, living forever. Acts 24:15 says, "Have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." And one day, those that go to the grave, they will come out of that grave, and they'll meet the Lord in the air. And those that remain will be caught up with the Lord together in the air. And that there is going to be a forever after we leave this place. We're going to a much better place, and there's going to be no more trials and no more problems, and it's going to be a wonderful place. In anticipation of Christ's return, that's that blessed hope in Titus 2:13. So it's looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:18 says, "So sure anchor, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as a sure anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. So it's a sure, steadfast hope that we have, an anchor of the soul, because God cannot lie. What he's told us, he's going to do. He's going to stand faithful to it, and he always has. First Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank the Lord. Because of that resurrection, he gave us a hope. If he hadn't came out of that grave after 3 days like he said he would, then it would all been for nothing, and nothing, we would have not been able to make it into heaven because of it. But thank the Lord, he fulfilled all that he said he was going to do. In Psalms 31 and 24, says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. In Psalms 33:18 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. In Psalms 71:5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. And not everyone comes to know the Lord at an early age, but I thank the Lord. I was only around 9 or 10 when I accepted the Lord, and it's been a wonderful journey. I haven't always stayed faithful to him. I drifted away from him, but I got back in with the Lord, and it was a very hard time going through what I did, but I brought it on myself. But I realized just how blessed I was of another opportunity to be his child, and I never want to leave again. In Psalms 146 and 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob as his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So if you got Jesus in your heart, we are blessed people. We have something we can put our hope in. And when man comes and asks you what your reason for your hope is, we can point to the Bible and tell him or her, whoever it is, say, the Bible's got some wonderful promises and blessings in there for whosoever will come to the Lord. And they can have eternal life. They can have partake of all the blessings now, not just wait till then. But we can look at many things the Lord's done in our own personal life. I was just thanking the Lord for salvation and for filling me with the Holy Spirit, for mercy and grace beyond measure so many times, and his help back when I had COVID. It was just like a little cold or something for me. I know many people went through a whole lot more than what I did, and I just thank the Lord that he was with me and helped me through it. And helped me with that little incident when I was choking here about a year ago. I went to the hospital, and I didn't know what I was going to do, what to look forward to after that. I'll never experience anything like that. But thank the Lord, I knew that I could call on him, and he was my help, and he delivered, and he brought me through that. And it could have been a lot different, but it worked out good because of his help. And I can look back and how the Lord's kept his hand on my son when he was a policeman for 10 years. And I prayed a lot of prayers for him. I'm sure my wife has too, and many others. But he never really got hurt seriously like he could have. But it's a dangerous job. But I just thank the Lord that his protecting hand was upon him. And he's saved a lot of my family. I prayed for years that were lost. I seen my dad come to the Lord, and when he left, when he was dying, he died there in his home, and Loretta was there with him, and he looked at her and said, I love you, and he just went to sleep and left. But I just thank the Lord that he saved him, saved my little brother. It took years of praying, many church praying for him, a lot of things he went through. God was faithful, and I love him and appreciate him for it. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's no one, he's never lost a battle, he never will, and we can put our trust in him. That's the best person we can put our hope and trust in. I can't think of anyone else better, someone that would lay down their life for you in because of your sins and wash them away. But God is good to us. I do love him and appreciate him. Back to you, Pastor.
Glory to the King. Amen. Glory. Could have someone back to the piano here this evening. What is the reason for your hope? I have hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. My Savior. My King. My friend. My God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer here tonight as we're closing this service. Multitudes of needs.